Here we go. Okay, Jim, say your three S's. Star, smile, strong. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, new episode is posted up at WGNplus.com. And, of course, don't forget, in your spare time, go to the landing page where you will find... This is a pretty impressive number right now. You will find my first 100 podcasts. That's correct. We have broken the 100 barrier. We are now into triple digits. So 100 episodes. I assume, I have to count them. They're supposed to be living on my landing page, which is in the entertainment section of WGNplus.com. And then you'll see a little prompt for Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. All previous 100 episodes. So this is kind of like day one again. It's like starting over. Rewind. That's a rewinding sound, if you didn't guess that. That's what that is supposed to be. Yes, I am a man of 1,000 voices and 1,000 sound effects. And I believe my rewinding sound effect, the one I just went, that's 974, I believe, is out of the 1,000 that I do. The rewinding tape sound. Yeah. And of course, there's of course my John Goodman. Hey, Roseanne. I'm still stuck on my John Goodman from a couple of weeks ago. So... We move forward here with episode 101. I don't know where you live. You know, it's interesting. Do this podcast from WGN Studios in Chicago, in the heart of the Midwest, the great hub, if you will, O'Hare Airport, Midway Airport, railway stations. That's why Chicago became the city that it was. It was a huge railway stop to get across country, and that's why now O'Hare and Midway are so popular, because they are that nice halfway point. And that's one of the great advantages of living in Chicago and living by two major airports, especially O'Hare, which is an international airport. I don't know, is Midway an international airport? Probably now with so many carriers there. But, you know, you can get a nonstop flight almost anywhere, and you can many times get a nonstop international flight to a lot of places. So it really is nice to live in Chicago for that reason, if you like to travel, because you don't have to make those stops everywhere. And if you live on the East Coast, it's like a six, even for a non-stop flight, it's like 6 hours to go across country. Of course, one of the disadvantages of living in Chicago is, at times in the winter, sometimes in the early spring like we are now, it is the weather, which can be very unpredictable. Now, we are going through a spell, and by the time this podcast posts, it may be 90 degrees, and all this may sound very dated. But over the last several weeks, the first at least 2.5 weeks of April, not only in Chicago, but the entire Midwest and East have really been in an extended winter. And not just that it's been a little cloudy and maybe a little rainy. It's been downright cold. It's been 30s and 20s. 20s at night, 30s during the day, still getting snow. We've had snow here in April before in Chicago. You know, we've had even blizzards. We've had over 10 inches of snow. I remember being a little kid, and a teenager, major snowstorm. So it's not uncommon. But what is uncommon is just this extended period of low temperatures all across the Midwest and the East, especially now with baseball season having started. Many games have been canceled and postponed, rescheduled. The one year they started the season a week earlier, they started the last day of March, and now we're in this extended cold spell for a while here. So many games in baseball have been rescheduled, and it's just been an interesting April. It usually rains. Let's not forget. There's even a song. April showers bring May flowers. I don't know if it's a song or it's a phrase, but it's there. Okay, so it's been my whole lifetime. So obviously, it's always rained a lot. It hasn't been the best of weather, but sure, in April we're expecting to get a final break from the cold sub freezing temperatures of the 30s. And right now, I believe, according to the weather forecasts in Chicago, for instance, we're supposed to be in the mid to upper 50s or lower 60s in terms of average temperatures, which is not 90, but it's not 20. And once again, what's interesting about doing this here in Chicago, while I would assume most of the people who listen are from the Chicago area, either currently or in the past, because why else would you have heard of me? So you probably heard of me on WGN Radio in Chicago. But at the same time, who knows? Because obviously the internet is global, and maybe people are just, who knows? There might be some real big podcast fans who just check out any podcast that they can find surfing around on the web, and maybe they've come across this. So maybe I'm talking to people in Australia on a weekly basis who have no relevance to this kind of temperature talk. But I would assume that most of the people listening to this podcast on a regular basis either are transplanted Chicago and somewhere else, or still living right here in the city. But I've got to say, I know it's kind of a bummer that it hasn't been as nice or spring-like as it's supposed to be. But if you've lived in the Chicago area for any period of time, you know that this is the way our weather is. And, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now, it's going to be 80 and 90, and you're going to forget this even happened. So that's my point, is just lighten up. You turn on the television and you see the weather forecasters, and they're having a ball scaring everybody because they weren't able to scare people this winter in Chicago. Aside from a little cold spell for about a week and a half or 2 weeks where things got a little cold, we did not have a very bad winter here in Chicago over the 2017-2018 winter. We did not have a bad winter at all. We only had 30 inches of snow. And you say, well, wow, 30 inches of snow, that's nothing. That's nothing for a Chicagoan. We've gotten 90 or 75 or 80 usually, year after year after year. The 30 is a walk in the park. There was one semi-heavy snow this year at one time, maybe 7, 6, 7, 8 inches. The rest of the time was negligible. It was fantastic. I don't mind cold weather. I hate snow. I hate everything about snow, except that it looks pretty. But I hate when it falls in big amounts because I hate shoveling. Can't stand it. Been shoveling since I was 10. And I every time I'm shoveling and I get inside my head because, you know, you're just shoveling, and so you talk to yourself and you think about stuff. You try to, you know, as you just keep doing this same motion of shoveling the snow. And then I was counting how many years I've been shoveling snow, and it's pretty depressing at this point. One time I actually tried to, I put my iPod on, and I was shoveling with my iPod. And I was like, well, that's not a bad idea. And it actually was fun. But then I got paranoid that if it fell, it would fall in the snow and get wet, and then it would get ruined. So I felt like maybe I shouldn't do that. And the reason I say that is about 6, 7 years ago, I was in California, and I woke up. Every time I go to California, I like, for near a beach, I like to get up early in the morning before sunrise and take a walk on the beach. And so I did that. And, you know, early in the morning, the tide is not as close to the shore as it is later. So I was walking up the beach one way. As I came back, I walked the same way, and suddenly the water started creeping in. And what was at one, you know, an hour and a half before that, pure sand, as I'm walking, I got bombarded by these waves, by these rocks. And sure enough, I had my iPod in my pocket, and it got ruined. So I'm very paranoid of, thankfully, I had two extras, because don't forget, I have 24,000 songs on that iPod. And I, for that exact reason, I bought two extras and loaded those up just in case something happened. So thankfully, I still have two left. So I'm always paranoid now that I only have two left, because if I lose one, they don't even make the iPod that I have, this classic one that holds so many songs. So I would be out of a, I'd be out of a lot of my records too, of my CDs. Anyway, so here's the thing: you know, like I said, the weather people were scaring people over the last couple of weeks in April. Oh, it's going to be cold. And then, of course, the anchor people. Oh, when is the cold going to stop? Oh, shut up. It's going to stop. We all know it's going to stop. We've had winter since November. Two more weeks aren't going to kill you. What were you going to do? You know, don't worry. Summer will be here. Everybody's all anxious. Then they'll wind up sitting in their house anyway. What are you missing? Relax. And those weathermen, oh my gosh, a couple weeks ago they were scaring people. Whoa, it's going to snow, it's going to rain. I don't know. My car has a roof on it. It's got windshield wipers. And I've got an umbrella. If it rains, it rains. Once again, April showers. So slow down. But I do have to say that there were a few mornings where I woke up in April here in the first couple of weeks. And I was shocked to see, you know, a good amount of accumulated snow. Usually if we get snow, I've been to opening days at Wrigley Field here in Chicago where it snowed. Okay, so once again, it's par for the course sometimes. But I've woken up a few times early morning and the grass is filled. You go, wow, when did this happen? And while I don't like snow, I have to admit it is beautiful when it's, you know, on the grass and on the bushes and on the tree limbs. And it makes for a very beautiful, picturesque sight. It's just a pain in the butt when you have to go out there and shovel it. But if you're just looking at it, I'm sure if you lived in Colorado out in the wilderness somewhere, it's got to be gorgeous if you don't have to worry about, you know, plowing out a driveway. But if you got to shovel a driveway or shovel a walkway, it stops being pretty fast. So that's why it occurred to me. There were some accumulations in April here in Chicago where I woke up in the morning and it looked gorgeous. It was postcard material. And I realized I actually love April snow because from my standpoint, from somebody who hates to shovel, it is the greatest snow of them all. Just like that Whitney Houston song. It's the greatest snow of all. Because what's so great about April snow is that it falls, it only sticks to the grass, and to the bushes and to the trees, which makes it pretty. But it doesn't stick to the sidewalks and the driveways because that ground is too warm. So it's that snow is self-shoveling, and it's perfectly straight, much straighter than I can ever shovel or snow blow. So how gorgeous! You wake up in the morning; it's exactly the kind of snow that you want. April snow. You wake up, it looks pretty, it looks gorgeous, but It's not a hazard. It's not a driving hazard because it's not sticking to the ground, the highways. It's not a walking hazard, and it's not a shoveling obligation. And then, through the magic of temperature, by 10 in the morning, it disappears, and it's gone completely. And what was once a front yard or a backyard that was this picturesque, snowy scene is now grass and trees again. No problem. So you had that beautiful, picturesque snow for about 2 or 3 hours. It didn't affect your walking down the stairs or walking on ice. No, it was perfectly manicured. If you ever see it, it's perfectly manicured snow. It's gorgeous. So April snow is the best snow. So I actually now look forward to April snows. I'm going to be very disappointed if we don't get any more April snow. How's that? The summer will be here. May 1st, it's going to be 90. And the snow will be gone and the sun will be out and you can go and do your running by the lake and you could go do your bocce ball or whatever you're doing and your lacrosse and all your other activities and your kayaking. You can do all that stuff or you're walking down the street or whatever it is you need to do that you're so upset about because it's not warm yet. Believe me, it'll be warm. It'll be too warm. And then, of course, we get the anchor people in July and August who were complaining about how cold it was in April when it was 50. And now they're complaining how hot it is in July and it's so humid. And hot, when is this heat wave going to end, Tom? Oh. Just, you live here and you know what the weather is. Stop pandering and stop creating fears in people. Oh, it might affect your drive tomorrow to work. Whoa. If you live in Chicago and you drive a car, you know how to drive in the weather. That's part of the job. That's part of what you learn. But I have to say, April snow. I am into April snow. It looked gorgeous. One day, oh my goodness, I woke up and it was all the tree limbs were glistening because the sun had come out for a little while. And as I said, the grass was covered in a perfectly straight line. Wherever there was grass in the straight line, by the edgings of the grass, bordering the sidewalk, snow. Sidewalk, no snow. Driveway, no snow. Stairs, no snow. Grass, snow. Garage roof, snow. Front of garage, no snow. How could you go wrong? It's got all the best aspects of snow, the beautifulness, the calm serenity, and it's got all of the great other advantages. No shoveling, no ice, no slipping. How could you go wrong? So in my view, bring on the April snow. And that's just what I'm going to hope for. So as I look out the window today here, and today as I'm recording this is, what have we got? April 18th. So it's a little cold today, I have to admit. But no snow, a little rain. There was some little rain today. But I know within a couple of weeks, the baseball games will not be canceled anymore. The games will be played. People will be running. People will be shopping. People will be walking. People will be kayaking. People will be fishing. People will be doing all those summer things and spring things they love to do. But remember the cool April snow, because it wasn't that snow in the winter that, ugh, it's going to snow. It's going to stick. I got to shovel it. They got to throw salt down. I got to dig myself out of my driveway. I got to worry about slipping when I walk. I got to worry about slipping when I drive. No, no, not the April snow. The April snow is the greatest snow of all. Okay. And welcome back to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And now we go to the phones and talk to our pop culture contributor, Emily Amornetti. How you doing, Emily? Are you there? There you are.
Yes.
There she is.
Can you hear me?
There she
is. Oh, here I am.
Yeah, sorry, there's a little button there. So last week, in episode 100, I apologize. We had a little shortened show. And as was a strange occurrence, I was a little long-winded. Who would have thought of that?
That never happened.
So I promised you that this week, not only would we have you on, but we would give you a little more time because you took time out of your busy day to do this, and I felt bad. But once again, all of a sudden, I looked up and they said, "No, you have to be out of the studio on time today." Usually I'm able to run over a little.
They brought the hammer down.
Yeah. So anyway, okay. So how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Now you had I had to rush through that. I wanted to spend a little more time. So my number one fan, your son James, had a birthday recently, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. How old is he now?
He's 8 now.
8.
Yeah.
Do 8-year-olds have? Does he like girls yet?
I feel like he would kill me if I said anything.
I'm just trying to think.
It's funny you should ask that because I just ran into one of his friend's moms on the street the other day, and she was telling me about like some love notes that she found tucked away like under her son's bed.
Nice.
I just finished having lunch with another one of my friends who's a mom at the same school we go to. And so we were all kind of comparing notes because, in my mind, second, there he's 8, he's finishing up second grade. That we were not interested in, members of the opposite sex at that point, right?
Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think. In second,
I think it didn't start until fifth grade. But
how much? Fifth? Oh, no.
Fifth grade. Yeah.
Not me.
I went to a Catholic school, but so did you, I think.
Oh, yeah. Right? I went to Catholic grammar school and high school. No. I remember third grade. I can remember Karen Meyer. Oh. I could still
pick. Did people start passing notes to each other and like asking?
No, I don't think
asking to be the girl. Asking to be boyfriend and girlfriend.
No, but you know what? I do remember.
What I think is happening now with second graders.
Well, at least
it's kind of.
I'm happy they're not texting each. At least they're still passing notes.
Well, I mean, if they were allowed to have phones,
that's true.
So maybe that should be it. It should be like, if you're not old enough to have a phone, you're not old enough to have a significant other.
Well, I remember, in third grade, like I said, there was this girl, Karen Meyer. And I wish I could find my third grade picture. Because I've got this image of her that, and then they moved,
Oh,
yeah.
That's like devastating.
Oh, I know. And my heart was broken. Karen Meyer, forever gone. Where are you?
Now, did she move out of state or was it one of those?
No, she moved like to the snow.
10 minutes away. You might as well live out of state.
Yeah, if you're third grade, if you move 4 blocks away, you might as well move to, Japan.
Oh, totally.
She moved to the suburbs, and I can't remember where, but yeah, the suburbs were forget about. I mean, in those days,
yeah.
You didn't even know what the suburbs were. So,
no.
But I do remember then in fourth grade, if I were you, I'd be a little worried. I'm not, by fifth grade, I was already in love by fifth grade because fourth grade,
yeah.
I remember giving a girl, and I won't say names here, but I gave her, I was handing out, remember the little Valentines? that yeah. you would give those little ones that you would just, like, they would flip over and you just write in there and hand them out in those little mini envelopes to people? Do they still do that in school? Can they still do that?
Well, yeah, they hand out Valentine's, but the teacher gives the parents a class list so you can make sure that your child gives every single person in the class a Valentine.
Oh, well, yeah.
So because, nobody's left out.
Okay, well, back when I grew up.
You don't just give it to, like, the person you like.
Back when I grew up, no one cared about anybody's feelings.
No.
There was no.
They didn't when I was growing up either.
Yeah, I mean, there were some kids that had a desk full of Valentines, and some had none, and they liked it. That's the way it was. But anyway, I remember giving this girl, maybe several girls. I think my testosterone developed early.
Oh, you were like a little Casanova.
Yeah, I was. I know there's at least two or three girls that I gave, you know, like my mom bought that little package, you know, of all those Valentines.
Yeah.
And most of them were pretty benign, you know. They're like, happy Valentine's Day, you know. But in this pack, I'll never forget this, in this pack, there was one, there was like maybe 40 or 20 in a pack, but they were basically the same five, you know, three times over, or four times over, you know?
Yeah. Well, they still do that.
So there was this one that said, it had a cuckoo clock on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it said, I'm cuckoo about guess who? I'll never forget that.
So sad.
Yeah, there was this little Valentine. It had a cuckoo clock. It said, I'm cuckoo about guess who? And, like, the little bird was coming out of the little, you know, the little door.
Of course.
Because he was cuckoo about guess who. So I chose, you know, you got to choose those when whoever's name, you know, that you put those on.
Right.
You got to make sure you mark that envelope correctly.
Yeah.
And so I was cuckoo about at least three girls in fourth grade. And I gave this, think about that. I mean, I was pretty bold. That was a pretty bold statement for, like, what, a 9 or 10 year old kid to say, I'm cuckoo about you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so.
So I was very nervous to even put it on their desk. You know, because I'm making a declaration here. You know.
Right. Although you are doing it to three separate people. So
yeah, right. Well, I was hedging my bets. you know, I don't like when I go fishing. I don't just use one pole. I use a big net. I don't go for that one-on-one stuff.
Right.
The odds aren't with you.
Right.
So the funny thing is that one of the girls, you know, now to your point, now from a girl's standpoint, you were saying how you felt probably in maybe second or third or fourth grade, maybe you still weren't interested, right?
Well, I just don't remember anyone really. I don't remember talking about boys with my friends until probably, I would say, at the earliest fourth grade. And then fifth grade is when.
Yeah.
You would, like, let it be known
right.
that you liked this other person, or you would find out that this other person liked you, and they would, like, ask you out.
Yeah,
and
whatever
was,
that
like,
meant.
Sending, passing you a note, leaving my girlfriend circle, yes or no.
Yeah, right,
know?
Right.
And then,
And then you would write on, remember the book covers?
Did you have book covers? We did have book covers. Yeah, we did. Like, you mean the ones that we put on our textbook?
Yeah, you put over the textbook.
Yeah, we had those.
And then you would write your name and the other person's name, and then you'd be the TLA. Remember the TLA?
Yeah.
The True Love Always.
Of course.
The T and the L and the A were all one kind of letter.
Yeah, they're like interlocking.
Yeah, the interlocking TLA, True Love Always.
Right.
And so
it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. But so here's the thing. I'm foggy on this. I don't remember if she opened it immediately or if this was the next day. You know, like she brought it home.
Okay.
But I know that she confronted me. Like,
oh really?
They're like, "What is this?"
Now, is that because she was like, what is this? You love me? Or was it like, I have compared notes with the other girl?
No. This was like, no. This was kind of like, no, I don't think she knew that I gave it to two other girls.
She was just horrified that you liked her.
Either that I liked her or I don't know if it was so much that I liked her
that was your way of expressing.
Well, yeah, or, I mean, this explains quite a bit now that when I think about the rest of my life from this day, because I'm still remembering this moment.
But this is the first time you're really breaking this down.
Yeah, well, because it was my first heartbreak. And
yeah.
But my thing is, I thought at the time, I still remember it being that it was not so much that she was mad that I liked her. It was almost like, how dare you like me? Because I wonder if she was still not in that mode yet.
Well, maybe not.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
at least that's the way I like to think about it.
This is when you were in second or third grade?
I was in
third grade.
This was fourth grade.
Yeah. Oh, fourth grade. Yeah,
it was fourth grade. But
I mean, I don't know. But
yeah,
like
I don't
that,
either.
Like,
now, the funny thing is, like, so I had like my 30th grammar school reunion, you know, several years ago, and she was there, and she still looked, and she still looked great. And I was like, you know, one thing, I was like, you know what, I've always had, one thing I always pride myself, I always had good taste.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, she really looks good. You know, I mean, I hadn't seen her in how many years from when we graduated grammar school. I had never seen her again. And then it was so funny because I was talking to her and I wasn't going to bring up I'm cuckoo about guess who Valentine. Because I figured if I brought that up, she probably did not remember it. And if she thought that I still remember it, she probably would have put a restraining order on me.
Right, of course.
But then she said, oh. And I said, oh. And she was with, you know, she was with her husband. And I said, oh, you know, we're talking. And I found out she had been divorced already and remarried. And I was like, wow. You know, because, you know, and that's not crazy, but it was just like, you know, you were really quick to give back my Valentine, but clearly you haven't had a great track record since, have you? But no, I'm gonna forget that I am cuckoo about. And then, you know, over the last year, I was going through all of my bins, and to your point, I found a couple of love notes from like seventh grade. That I kept, and I still have them. And to read them, it was so funny. Like this one girl said, you know, I really like you, but if I don't think that I'm going to like you for a long time, I will break up with you. I mean, it was so great. I just love it. It was so, but at the same time, if you remember too, and now I don't know if this might be too old for you because you're about 10 years younger than me, but on the note, there were all these little stickers. Remember those little stickers?
We liked stickers.
Did you have stickers? Yeah. So there was like stickers of like
stickers.
Of like two little bears hugging. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even though she was giving me kind of these ground rules,
right?
But she also
you still got the hugging bear sticker.
I got the huggy bear stickers and the smiley faces and the hearts.
Yeah.
And the Jim and blank.
The heart with the rainbow coming off.
Yeah.
Of it.
Oh, definitely. And then on the side, the Jim plus, and I won't say her name, with the TLA.
Yes.
I mean, if I ever saw this girl, and I wound up seeing her again probably in my early to late teens, and I felt like saying, you know, I still have that note. But once again, I didn't want to scare them.
Right, I know, right?
But I still kept...
Well, you know, everyone goes through it. I mean, my parents still live in the house that I lived in from, like... you know, middle of high school through college. And so my room there is still, I would say mostly intact.
Is it still, so it's the Emily Shrine? It's still the Emily Shrine?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yes. And so I, from time to time, I'll peruse some of the stuff in my closet.
Yeah.
It's mostly organized. You know, like there's stuff in boxes in those big bins, I think is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I mean, oh my gosh, sometimes some of the stuff you find is so cringy. Like, you know, like, yes, you have like those little love note things from like junior high and stuff. But then even like when I was in college, I mean, email wasn't really a thing.
Oh, not at all.
Like my senior year in college.
Right.
When the university gave everyone an email account, but we didn't even know how to use it yet.
Right.
I don't even think most people use it. I used it for one class, and that's because we had a teacher who was kind of, I guess, just, you know, an early adopter and decided that he would give out the homework assignments on email and we could submit them by email. But, you know, we otherwise didn't use it. We certainly didn't email each other, you know.
Right.
And so I actually, and this is kind of nice. I feel like this is something that's missing in the world now. My friends and I from home, you know, friends from high school, we wrote each other letters in college.
Oh yeah,
you know,
I have a bunch of letters
regularly.
Too.
Regularly,
yeah,
pretty regularly. But there are a few letters that I have from boys that I read them, and they are so cringy in the sense that it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know. They're just so like,
Oh yeah, I mean, I remember
this is the stuff they would write. It's like, hey, so like, how's it going? It's like, it's going to take me a whole week to get this letter.
I know.
And then maybe a few days before I get to writing you back. And by the time I've written you back, it's like, what do you mean, how's it going?
And then you talk about homework or you hate
and
this.
It's like weird. Or you talk about people that you met in college.
Yeah.
You met like a, you know, someone that you're dating. I mean, it's just hilarious to like look back. And when you just stumble upon stuff like that, you know, like in your parents' house. And I know you did a lot of sorting through stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know,
oh, and thankfully I kept a lot of stuff on my own, and my mom kept a lot of stuff. And it's so funny how some of these things that in my case are 35, 40 years old somehow made it through. They made it through the moves, and they made it through the boxes to the bins to the, you know, I mean, somehow they didn't get tossed. They made it through, and you're like,
that said, if my parents were not living in the house that I lived in with them, I think they would have tossed my stuff a long time ago.
Yeah.
I think they're just waiting for me to come and do it. So they don't have to do it. But if they move, I think they would just, without even looking at stuff, I think they would just check it in the bin.
Well, like even you talk about, you know, this is even though a lot of times we don't stay to the hard and fast rule of the pop culture club. But I mean, so there was this one girl that I had a huge crush on in grammar school and even into high school, but it was mostly unrequited, you know? I never, you know, we went out, like you said, we went out, whatever that means, like in sixth grade. But nothing ever, you know, I mean, there was nothing, you know, I don't even know if I even kissed her, to be honest with you. In fact, I know I didn't, because that's one of the things that breaks my heart. But anyway, she didn't live far from me at all. You know, like when we got into, like when we graduated from high school, she didn't live far from me. But I never saw her in the neighborhood for whatever reason. You know what I mean? Like three or four blocks away, never saw her. So to your point, now I'm like a freshman or sophomore in college. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to write her a letter. And I knew her address because she...
I missed the beginning of what you said because the call dropped. And
oh,
it said, like, system. Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. It said system failure on my phone. I've never seen that before.
Oh, okay, so what part did you hear?
Well, I didn't hear it right when you said we don't stick to the hard and fast rules.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
And so, then they dropped. No, that's not your
fault. So my point is, I had a crush on this girl in sixth grade, and I asked her out, whatever that means. But,
for
you
sure.
Know, but, you know, I mean,
but
I don't even.
You're not actually going anywhere.
No, you don't do anything.
Right?
No,
you
like I said.
Will you go out with me?
Yeah, what does that even mean?
Like,
I mean, at that point, you can't even go to a movie. I mean, you're too young to go anywhere. I don't know what that
right,
means.
Right, right.
And I never even kissed this girl. But long story short, I mean, I think we held hands back in sixth grade. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
But I still always held this long, even though I had girlfriends and stuff, I always still had this, maybe it was, you know, idealized, but I always had this crush on her. And I mean, she lived in my neighborhood, even though, and, you know, 4 blocks away from my house. And even though we were, you know, like I said, so close, I never saw her. And so even when I graduated college, she was kind of still on my mind. Or not graduated college, graduated high school. So like freshman, sophomore year of college, I wrote her a letter. I'm like, I'm never seeing this girl. Let me write her a letter. And so the funny thing is we lived like 3 blocks away. And over like a summer, we wrote letters to one another.
Wow, that is so funny.
We never saw one another, though. Because I think
but
she
you
was
were only 3 blocks away.
Yeah, 3 or 4 blocks away. And I think she was kind of going out with somebody. She kind of intimated that. You know how that is. You know how you girls do that, don't you? Oh, by the way.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, by the way, my boyfriend and I. Okay, I understand.
Well, you know, if you need to shut it down, that's
the way to do it. Yeah, oh, believe me. I've got a whole stack of those.
You might not want to admit that.
I have so many of those, they're alphabetized by year.
Well, I admire you for being able to admit that.
But no, and it was so funny because I read these letters, and the reason I mentioned the Pop Culture Club is because my big thing, like my bait, if you will, to get a response back, you know what I mean? Was
I don't know if I had I'd never had to bait anyone.
Well, no, because I figured I'm going to send this letter. Who knows if she's going to throw it out, going to say this is ridiculous.
Right.
So I didn't know. So what I did was at the end of the letter, I put 5 TV trivia questions that she had to answer.
Oh my God.
In order for her to send a letter back to me.
So did she answer?
Yeah, not only did she answer, the letter came back in like 2 days because you could literally have thrown it to my house. You know, but but it was so funny, you know, because she had all the questions right, too.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you guys sound like you would have been a good match.
I know, and it was so funny because then finally I'm sitting there going, you know, we're over here writing these letters, you know, 4 blocks away. And how silly is this? And I would always like throw, oh, we should get, you know, but there was never like a, you know, because, oh, my boyfriend, whatever. And I was like, oh, whatever. But I kept, but I even kept those letters.
Oh.
So I still have those. Yeah, I still have those.
Well, maybe she's listening right now.
Yeah, who knows? Well, we actually did. Well, you want to hear, I mean, the weirdest thing was, you talk about the strange twists of fate. So in 2000, when I did know you, my dad had a heart attack, and I was actually out in Las Vegas at a trade show.
Mm.
And I came home, and I went to visit him the next day in the hospital. And as I'm sitting in the hospital, talk about a small world. So I'm sitting in the hospital, right, in my dad's room. He just has a heart attack. And I'm looking around the room, and you know that little whiteboard that they have in the hospital
mm-hmm.
rooms, where it says, like, you know, the nurse writes the date.
Yeah, the nurse's name.
Yeah, and the nurse's name with a smiley face.
Yeah.
It says, this is your nurse, right?
Yes, and it's like the goals for today.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I know that well.
Guess whose name is on the board?
No way.
As my dad's nurse.
Wow.
I mean,
I
fell over.
So now, did she realize before you showed up?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
But talk about, I almost had a heart attack.
So then did you say to her, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, so wait. So I saw her name up there, and I like I said, I literally almost, like, I shook. I was like, are you kidding me? And so I called the hospital and went on the directory and found her phone number at the hospital.
Why didn't you just walk up to the nurse's station?
Well, I didn't know if she was there or not.
I mean, I guess after all, you guys did send each other a letter from like 3 blocks away.
Yeah, so right.
Probably the only way to really have a reunion.
Yeah.
So I
left a message and I said, I don't know if you're the same person from, you know, but this is, you know, me from grammar school in, you know, St. Bart's or whatever. And sure enough, she called me back the next day, and we had a nice conversation.
But wait, if she was your dad's nurse, you didn't even see her?
No, I never saw her. I think she, you know what? I think she was like the floor nurse. She wasn't the day-to-day. I think she was like the head of the floor or something.
Yeah, either that or your dad was doing very well. Because when my dad was in the hospital, I remember we knew every nurse, every doctor, every single, I mean, we knew way more than we wanted to about everyone else.
But, so that was a strange little thing. But it is so funny how you remember those people or those moments. And like you said, you keep these little notes. And the whole reason that I'm bringing this up is there is a tie in here, Emily. So just hang on.
I'm ready.
You think I'm way off in left field, but no. I'm steering this thing.
Yeah.
Because we are in the midst. Here it comes. Get ready. We are in the midst of another royal wedding. Da 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 da.
Indeed.
You see how I brought that around?
I see it, yes. I get it. I like it.
And you, of course, you have already admitted on several occasions that you are a royal watcher.
Well, I mean, I kind of have to be. You know, I've lived in London for so long. It's hard not to be. And also, I think we've talked a little bit about how I feel about the royals before. I wasn't actually that into them until recently, but I think this younger generation of royals, you know, like William and Kate and Meghan and Harry, I really like them. I don't know.
Okay, but don't forget. Don't forget. Don't leapfrog. Prince Charles is still the next in line, even though he's going to be...
I know, but this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. I think, you know, I'm so not interested in anything he's doing, you know, not interested in that at all, that I feel like it's the younger generation. It's his, you know, his children and their spouses. And
isn't that amazing?
They're the ones who really, I think, are capturing people's attention.
Yeah,
right
but
now.
Think
and they're bringing a freshness to the monarchy that it desperately needs.
Yeah, but here, but think about the reality of this. Okay, the Queen Mother was 104 years old when she died. Queen Elizabeth is 92.
Yes.
Charles, I believe, turned 70 this year.
That sounds about right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing. I understand what you're saying. Oh, the new generation with William and Kate. If clearly there's longevity in the House of Windsor.
To a certain extent, though, because I think as long as they're living somewhat baseline healthy lifestyles, he'll probably live a long time. Because I think if we've learned nothing from them, we've learned like money and privilege can help extend your life, right?
Yeah.
but you know, if you watch The Crown,
oh right,
or
the King's Speech,
you know,
or things
boss,
like that. Yeah, yeah, no,
right.
I mean definitely.
You know that her father died pretty young.
Well, that's
so you know Elizabeth's sister. So we'll see. I think Charles is relatively sort of a. I don't think he's.
No, Charles turned. I looked up because I was looking up. Charles turned 70 this year. But my point is that if even if the Queen, who's holding on to that job like a pope.
Oh, yeah.
Let's say she lives another 5 years. Okay?
Right.
And Charles finally, at age 75, he's been waiting his whole life for this.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't it be ironic if he died before her? That would be crazy.
Well, it would be, yeah.
I mean, the fact that he would have lived his whole life as an heir and never had a chance to be king even for 10 minutes. But my point is, even if he becomes king, let's say at 75, odds are, given the way the longevity, don't forget, his dad is almost 97, just had hip surgery.
Yeah, that's right.
The mom is 92. The grandmother was 104. He could live to 90.
Yeah.
So William may not be... you know, king until 50. You know, he's still he might be in middle age before he becomes king. You know, he's not going to be 75 probably like his dad, but there's a good chance that if Charles lives a long life, even though he will have taken the throne at a later age, the odds are that he could live to 90 or 95, and there's another 20 years. So, you know, it's very interesting, but as I said, we are in the midst of a royal wedding.
Now you're making me think. I hope I'm still alive. Who knows?
I know. I mean, those Windsors, my God, it's an amazing.
I'm having an existential crisis now.
But yeah, so May 19th is the.
Okay, hopefully we will be alive.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see that.
The royal wedding.
Yeah, so May 19th.
It's only a couple weeks away, so let's roll.
Yeah. So that, you know, and this is what a lot of people are very intrigued. I mean, you know, as I said before, many times we've talked about this. Harry has the greatest of lives. He gets all the royal perks without any of the royal obligations.
That's right.
So that's fantastic. And now he's married to this, very, I mean, from a royal standpoint.
Well, that's.
You know, controversial, but in real life, you know, no controversy at all. But in from a royal standpoint, my gosh, to your point about, you know, this new breed of royals, the younger people. I mean, you know, is she divorced too?
Well, yeah. So she's well, first of all, she's American,
right? She's American, divorced, and mixed race.
They made a big deal out of the fact that Kate was a quote unquote commoner, which let's use that term loosely, because it just means she wasn't royal. I mean, she came from a very affluent family.
Right.
She certainly ran in those blue blood circles. But so now with Harry, right, not only is he marrying an American, she is African American, she is divorced. Which, you know, divorce previously, I mean, once again, if you watch The Crown, you'll see that, you know, the Queen's sister's undoing was practically over the fact that the Queen would not allow her to marry the love of her life, who was divorced.
Yeah, but don't forget, there is no Crown series if Elizabeth's uncle doesn't advocate the throne. Because he was in love with and married a divorced American woman. You know, don't forget, Elizabeth's father doesn't become king. He was not next in line.
Right.
So she never, you know, in theory, her bloodline and, you know, in his bloodline would never have become royal in terms of heirs. It would have been, you know, Edward, not George.
Right.
If he hadn't married, a divorced woman and said, you know, if I can't marry her, I'm going to give up the throne. So talk about the way fate works. There's no Lady Diana. You know, there's no nothing like that when you think about that. So look at the difference. That was back in the 40s and 50s where he had to literally give up the heir. And now here's. Harry, who is now far down the line because of all
so
of
now, that. Harry is far down the line. I mean, and now they've changed the rules too. So, like, not only every time William and Kate have a son does he get
yeah now
down,
it's even the girl yeah
any, it doesn't matter any child they have
yeah.
male or female, you know, Harry gets bumped another spot.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think he really cares about, you know, because like you said, he gets all of the privilege and has you know. Practically none of the responsibilities, but I think that may be part of why, you know, there, I don't, if this had been William, I wonder whether he would have been allowed to marry a divorcee. I just think because they know he someday is going to be king, you know, unless something really crazy happens, he will be king. So
who William?
William will be. Someday.
Oh yeah, no, no. There's no. There was no. There are different. Yeah, no. You're exactly right. There were different rules. Yeah, there's different rules for William. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But you know, there. Again, like I said, this generation is dragging the monarchy into, you know, the 21st century. They are making them more modern. You know, I think the monarchy, if it doesn't get with the times, it will eventually just disappear. So I think this is a really good thing.
Now, are you going to get up early to watch the wedding?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't do that with William and Kate's wedding.
Really?
I didn't, because I don't know. At the time, James was a baby at the time. He was all I was into at that time. I didn't really care about anything else. And I also definitely wasn't giving up sleep for anything at that point in time. So I don't know. I think also the time that we live in now, it's like you can pretty much get highlights of anything you want, you know, on the internet. So I don't worry that I'm going to miss something. But I think this is not going to be, there won't be as much pomp and circumstance around this one. You know, William and Kate's wedding was incredibly formal. Based on everything that they're saying about the upcoming wedding, it sounds like this is going to be, I mean, it will still be a big deal. And
oh, yeah.
They've invited members of the public to, we'll say, like, loosely say attend, because there will be members of the public who are invited to attend, and then also they're inviting people from the surrounding communities to come and, you know, to be outside, really, not to be, you know,
and it's not in Westminster Abbey Diana got married. This is going to be in Windsor, which is a suburb of of London, and is where actually the Queen spends a lot of her time, in Windsor Castle, mm-hmm. as opposed to. And if you ever go to London, you really need to do a side trip. It's only 45 minutes or so out of London, and
probably
see,
not even like on about the, miles.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's not that far.
Not bad.
Yeah, you have to go to Windsor. It's a beautiful little city, little village, I guess they call it. And Windsor mm-hmm. Castle is very cool. I remember 30 years ago, there was a major fire there, which was very scary. But yeah, so, I mean, they are doing things very differently. There's not a lot of heads of state. I know Donald Trump is not going. I know that Barack Obama is not going, because they were afraid that if they invited Obama and not Trump, it would look bad.
Well, I think the party line is that, and again, this is unlike William and Kate's wedding, this is not considered an official state occasion.
Right.
So
yeah.
It is very much regarded as a private ceremony. And so there's no pressure on them to invite political leaders. Now, I personally think, I'm not trying to play favorites, but I personally think, well, hey, you know, they are allegedly very close with the Obamas. So I feel like they should invite the Obamas, and actually they may have. The only thing that's really been said is that the Obamas will not be there. That doesn't mean they weren't invited.
They probably were invited.
Yeah, but, you know, but the point is that these guys don't really have to invite any political leaders of any kind, because this is not going to be that same type of thing.
I heard there's going to be overall, between the wedding ceremony and the reception, there's still going to be about 1,200 people when you combine both. So, I mean, this is still a big to-do.
Yeah, it's going to be a big wedding, for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, of course, there's a lot of speculation about which celebrities will get an invite. And in fact, I don't know if you've heard this, but I'm sure you probably have, because nothing ever misses your radar. But they say that Elton John has canceled 2 concerts because they clashed with their wedding. Do
okay.
You know anything about this?
Well, yeah, firsthand. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Did yeah.
You have tickets or something?
Yeah, I know.
I didn't realize there were actually tickets.
Oh, yeah. See, here's the thing. Oh, no. Believe me. I've got a. I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I'm glad, because I was going to bring that up right now. And I can't believe you did. So, once again, we're on the same wavelength. Oh, I've got a major bone to pick with Harry and Meghan.
Uh-oh. No, your bones should be with Elton.
Well, I do. And I do have a bone to pick with Elton and David, his husband, too. Yeah, believe me. So, here's the thing. Elton is finishing up his residency in Las Vegas. He did mm-hmm. one in 2004 and did it to 2009. And then he started this one, the Million Dollar Piano, from 2011. And back in January, before this whole thing was announced, or at least a date was announced for this wedding.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they were barely engaged by then.
Elton announced that his final shows were going to be the week of May, 14th. And his final show was going to be on May 19th, which is Saturday. Right?
Yeah.
So if you're like me, you want to be there.
Of course.
For the last Las Vegas residency show. Who knows if he'll ever go back there again? You know, so all major Elton John fans were buying tickets. So I bought tickets for the 18th and the 19th, the Friday and the Saturday, the last two shows. And I bought those in January.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, so now here's the thing. There were other shows also for sale during that week, but I didn't buy those. I just wanted the last two.
Oh, so he's not postponing them? He's just...
No, he's done. So then suddenly, the Thursday show on the 17th became the last show.
Right.
Well, I didn't have tickets for that show because that wasn't the last show. No. And now, by the time this was announced, all those shows were sold out. So
well,
all of a sudden,
I know that you have Elton's address.
Well, wait,
and you use it with discretion.
Well, the thing is,
I'm thinking you may need to write him a letter.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, so one day I wake up and it says Elton John shows on the 18th and 19th canceled, and I'm like, what the heck is that? Then a friend of mine goes, you know what? That's the date of the royal wedding. He probably is expecting to get an invite to the royal wedding, and I'm like, you son of a bee. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but you have people making plans here from from 4 months ago.
Yeah.
So thankfully, those tickets were refunded.
Well, they
and,
should be.
Yo, of course. But my point is, I was then able to purchase tickets for what would be now the last two shows. So I am in the building.
Well, that's good, but I still think that, to be fair, especially to these are going to be his diehard fans.
Right.
To go to these last two
I'm
shows.
Sorry, that was,
why not just say the last two shows have been postponed
to
the following weekend.
And use those, and people who have those tickets can go to those shows, exactly.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So for a while there, when I was in limbo, I was not happy with Reginald Kenneth Dwight, let me just tell you that.
Right.
But now we're friends again.
Oh, well, that's good.
And all
I'm
is
glad you're not holding a grudge.
Yeah, no, all is fine in Elton Land, in Elton Jim and Elton John Land. So everything's fine. But I was like, "Well, come on." Because don't forget, at that point, he didn't even have an invitation yet. Then he made a little comment about a month and a half or so ago. Someone asked him, "Are you going to the royal wedding?" He goes, "Well, I don't know. I didn't get my invitation."
Oh, he'll be there.
And then there was this whole story. Is he really invited? I'm like, he better be.
Right.
So.
I think he will be. I mean,
oh, no, he will be. There's no question. Yeah, there's no. And he's been there. He's big friends with the kids and everything. I'm sure he will.
I don't remember whether he was at William and Kate's wedding, but I'm sure he was.
Oh, no, yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. And now the big news about this wedding, though, talk about generational. You were talking about earlier about generational things. So the big story in London is that the Spice Girls are going to reunite for this wedding.
Apparently, yes. I guess so.
I mean, to me, that's no reason to get married. But apparently in England, big deal that the Spice Girls are getting married. Now, here's my question.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question that we can debate here, too. So apparently they don't want any gifts.
That's right. I like this.
But do you?
And by the way, they announced that on Twitter. This is the other thing I love about them. They are announcing the new generation of royals. They use social media to announce everything. These guys are announcing on Twitter that in lieu of gifts, they want donations to their personally chosen, charities that represent the range of issues that they're really passionate about, which I think is really great, right?
Yeah, but see, here's the problem. Here's the problem. I thought I was going, and I heard that they registered at the Tower of London and Marks and Spencer's.
And Marks and Spencer's.
And so I went to the Tower of London. I bought a nice little Tower of London keychain.
Oh, sure.
That I wanted to give them, and now what am I supposed to do? Because that's what they had registered. Here's my question. Now, you have a son. You said he just had a birthday. Mm-hmm. Would you say no gifts allowed? Or I mean, is that becoming a thing now?
It is definitely a thing. And here's actually, this is funny that you say that for his last birthday. So his last birthday was only a couple of weeks after we had a series of package bombings in Austin.
Oh, right.
And one of the victims of the bombing was a man who has an 8-year-old daughter himself. And I said to my son, you have this birthday coming up, and he was aware of the bombings. We didn't really talk to him about it, but the kids at school were talking about it, and so he knew what was going on. So as his birthday was approaching, I said to him, we've talked about this before, kind of trying to do something you know, rather, they don't need anything. These kids don't need anything. They don't need more toys. They don't need any. And, they, you know, they always get them, and it's great, and they play with them for a few weeks, and they forget about them. So I said, what if we think about doing something maybe for the Austin bombing victims? And he was really into that idea. And so, you know, I struggled a little bit with this because they say, like, if you're really following proper rules of etiquette, you're not supposed to mention gifts in any way on an invitation, even to say no gifts. But I thought, you know what? I have a lot of friends who've done this. They've said, I've seen no gifts, please. I've seen please in lieu of gifts. If you want to give something, here's a charity we really like. And I always think it's a really great thing. So forget about etiquette. Mm-hmm. And I put on this invitation, you know, if you feel like you want to celebrate his birthday with a gift, James would be really honored if you would consider making a small donation to this family or this family. People had set up GoFundMe pages for the families of the victims.
Oh, wow.
Or to a charity or a charitable organization that's close to your heart,
right,
or your family.
Oh, that's,
you know,
interesting.
So that way, if people want to do something, great. If they don't want to, that's totally fine too. And actually, when I thought, so I had that internal struggle, like, I don't know if it's proper etiquette to really mention this, but you know what? I would rather have people do some good, you know, than have like another toy floating
around.
So
look at you. You're taking the you know, the example of the new royals. Look at you.
Well,
you're like a royal.
It was after that happened that I saw that they announced on Twitter that they wanted to do this. And so then I thought, well, okay, if Harry and Meghan are concerned with proper etiquette, then I don't have to worry about it either. And, you know, then I felt a little bit better that it was.
Well, maybe they saw your invitation and that's where they got the idea.
You know what? Maybe. Just maybe.
Well, all I know is I am surprised because I am going to get up early to watch it. And I am going to get up to see if Meghan's sister is going to upstage her like Pippa did with Kate at her wedding.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, Pippa stole the spotlight a little bit, but I think Kate...
Oh, I know.
Pretty,
but I mean, Pippa basically.
And here's the question. The question is, how much does the royal baby upstage the upcoming wedding?
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Around the same time, right?
Now and then.
Yeah.
Any day now, there's going to be a royal baby. In fact, the no parking signs have already gone up at the Lindo Wing in London.
Oh,
and
really?
That can only mean one thing. Oh, yes. That's the sign.
Wow.
Every time she's given birth. As soon as those no parking signs go up, it means any day now.
And we don't know the sex of this baby, right, before it's born?
We don't know. I mean, I don't know whether they know, but they
my point is that they haven't known.
But there's, of course, the bookies are all over this.
You can
bet on the gender. You can bet on the name. You could go online right now and bet on that.
You could bet on whether the belly button's going to be an innie or an outie in England. You can bet on anything.
Yeah, right. Oh. Well, and I saw the odds. The odds for a girl or boy are pretty much 50-50, go figure.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's literally 50-50.
Well, I think I'm going to end this up by saying I think that you are going to definitely wake up and watch it at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. whatever.
No, you know what I'm going to do? No, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to DVR it.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't have it. And then I can watch at my leisure like I do everything else. You know how I am. I don't watch anything in real time. A month from now, you'll be like, have you watched the wedding yet?
No.
Sorry, 2 months. 2 months from now.
I'm still on episode 4 of House of Cards from last season.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, thank you, Emily.
You got to give me one thing. What? I finally finished Breaking Bad, okay?
Oh, boy. My baby blue. Now I can sing it.
Exactly.
My baby blue.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we had a little tea and crumpets here with Emily Arminetti in the Pop Culture Club. We will talk to you next week. Take care. Cheers, mate.
Oh, God. That was good. Please do not bring your British accent next week.
So mean. Maybe Emily will be back next week. Maybe not. We have to still have
maybe
to decide.
Not. Probably not.
Take care.
Thanks. You too.
And that wraps up episode 101 of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNPlus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted. I am here on business. I'm only here for fun. Hope you had a good time. I certainly did. This is Elton Jim with Captain Podtastic, which is the only podcast on the end of the web to your screen.